scriptures in hand and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And then we're also going to be reading Romans 12, verses 3 through 6. And we're continuing our series this morning, Ready, Set, Serve. And this morning's message is entitled, How to Become a Servant. We've been 6 weeks focusing on this message of servanthood, which is one of the core values of the kingdom of God. It's one of the things most important to God is our servanthood. And so we've been focusing on that for the past 6 weeks, and today will be our concluding message entitled, How to Become a Servant. You know, Elvis Presley, who was one of my favorite artists when I was a little kid, remains one of the greatest music industry icons of all time. But despite his great success, his popularity, his fame, his wealth, Elvis Presley was a very unhappy man. He was a very unfulfilled person, and he died at the young age of 42 from a drug overdose, struggling with depression. After his death, his wife Priscilla was interviewed, and she said Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be or with what his purpose in life was. He thought he was here for a reason. Maybe to preach, maybe to serve, maybe to save, maybe to care for people. And that agonizing desire was always with him, and he knew he was not fulfilling it. So he would go on stage, and he wouldn't have to think about it. But once the concert was over, he would go backstage, sit at a piano, and cry as he sang gospel songs. How tragic. Elvis was raised in a small Assembly of God church in Tupelo, Mississippi. And biographical articles stated that both the music and the preaching in that church registered deeply in his soul. But he became caught up with the music industry and everything that surrounds that lifestyle. But he always sensed that he was here for a purpose. But he never quite figured it out. And he always knew that there was something missing in his life. And it ate away at him. And it brought depression upon his soul, the point that he ended up overdosing of drugs. But tragically, that happens even to people who go to church week after week. I read a testimony from a woman named Amy who shared how she had been a sideliner at church. She said Sunday mornings meant getting up early, putting on her best clothes, listening to a sermon, and then leaving. But she continually felt as though something was missing and she just didn't know what it was. Then the week would go by without ever thinking about church till Sunday, and she would just repeat the pattern all over again. Her Christian life was lackluster. It was routine. It lacked the abundance of life that Jesus promised us in his word. Then finally one day she decided to become a part of the choir and the worship team. Music had always been one of the passions of her life, and as she began to serve in these ministries, she began to see how God was using it to bless others, and she also began to connect in relationship with those that were serving and ministering together with her, and she began to realize what it truly meant to be a part of the family of God and not just attend church. She shared about the excitement that she was now experiencing in her Christian walk when she started to serve. And she said, no longer do I come to church feeling that something is missing, but I am now an active participant in building the kingdom of God, and my soul is excited. You know, studies show a direct correlation between serving and our spiritual growth and sense of satisfaction and fulfillment in our life. There's a direct connection between serving in ministry and our spiritual growth and a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction in our life. If you want to come alive spiritually, if you want to be excited about your Christian life, then begin to serve. Get involved in ministry. And this is what these passages of scripture that we're going to look at this morning speak to us about. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you, are you in each of you? How many of you are involved in that? Are you in each of you? Raise your hand. About 50%. What are the rest of you? Amen. Each of you, that's speaking to every single one of us. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Every single one of us has received a gift from God. And its intent is to be used to minister or to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You see, God's grace manifests through the different gifts in different forms. It manifests through us. And he calls us to be faithful stewards. What is a steward? A servant. A steward is a household servant who manages his master's business affairs. We have all been called to be stewards. God has entrusted certain gifts to us that he intends for us to manage and use for his kingdom purpose. And he expects us to be faithful in the use of those gifts for him. Romans 12, verses 3 through 6 says, "For by the grace of God," remember again, grace is that free gift of God. It's not only grace that gives us salvation, but it's also grace that gives us gifts. "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment or accurate judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us," are you in each of us? Amen. There's a theme here that's being repeated. "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." And if we were to read on in this passage, Paul continues to tell us how we need to use those gifts. If our gift is teaching, then we need to teach to serve the body of Christ, he says. If our gift is prophesying or preaching, then we need to preach. If our gift is serving, then we need to serve. If our gift is giving, then we need to give. He says we need to use each of these gifts to serve or minister to the body of Christ so that it might be built up. Serving is the key difference between merely going to church and becoming the church. The key difference between merely going to church and becoming the church that Christ is building, that Christ has called us to be. And this is why Jesus placed such emphasis on servanthood as central to our Christian life. And today we want to look at some of the practical steps to becoming a servant. And the first practical step on how to become a servant is simple. Join the team. Join the team. Write this down. It's spiritually profound. If you've got lipstick, you got shoe polish, you got a marker, write it down. It's so profound. You don't have to go to the Greek. You don't have to go to the Hebrew to find it. It's simply this. Being a Christian is not a spectator sport. Being a Christian is not coming to church on Sunday morning and sitting in the pew and watching other people minister. That's never what God has called us to do. He says every member, just like every part of your body has a different function, and they all work together for the good of our entire being, right? The church is made up of many members, but we are one body, one church. And each member has a distinct function that is essential to the overall well-being of the entire church. Church was never intended to be a spectator sport. Being a Christian was never intended to be a spectator sport. You know, every team in every sport has certain positions that must be filled. In football, I believe they have 11 players. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not, you know, that much of a sports aficionado. But in football, they have 11 players on the field at a time. And each of those players has a distinct function or position that they play. There's the quarterback. And he's often the one that runs with the ball or throws the ball or kicks the ball. Then there are the guards that protect the quarterback. There's the tackles. There are the running backs, etc. That's the extent of my football knowledge. So I've exhausted it just now. But each player has a crucial role. And they have certain skills for that position. Like, you know, the linebackers, their skill is just being big. You know, no, I'm just kidding. But they have to be big, and they have to be able to tackle, you know. The quarterback, he's got to be able to be fast, and he has to have the skill to be able to throw the ball with accuracy. Anyway, from what I understand, that's what it seems to be. But in the same way, God has placed each one of us in the church to play a certain role, and he has given us gifts that are essential to that role. Unfortunately, someone once described football in this way. 11 men down on the field, desperately in need of rest. And 50,000 people in the stands, desperately in need of exercise. watching and criticizing the 11 men on the field who are playing the game and saying what they should have done and how they should have done it better. What an accurate description of football, isn't it? And you know, it could very well apply to the church. Did you know that statistically, in the United States, I don't know about elsewhere, but in the U.S., statistically, 20% of people in the church do 80% of the ministry. 20%. Some of them are serving in multiple roles. And they're busy outside the church. We talked about that fact during the last several weeks. We quoted Annalee Stanley that said, you know, the number one excuse for not serving in ministry, I don't have the time, I'm too busy. But he said, I have news for you. Every Sunday when you come to church, you're being ministered by people who are very busy. They all have jobs. They all have families. You know, I look at Gino, who plays the drums for us, and he works like 10-hour days. Sometimes he comes here straight from work, not even eating dinner. I look at Ray. Ray is a mailman, and Ray walks one of the beats where you have to deliver the mail by foot, and he does it in the hot Florida sun. And sometimes he comes here in his uniform, straight from work. And I know he's tired. But he's here all day Sunday for 10 hours from 7 o'clock in the morning. He's here on Wednesday night for services. He's here on Thursday night for rehearsals. And we have people like that throughout this body of Christ. I am so grateful for them. 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. Tommy Barnett, you saw him on the video a few moments ago about the devotional. He's a mega church pastor, has a church of about 15,000. He preached a sermon once, a very powerful sermon called There's a Miracle in the House. And he said, you know what? God has already placed all the gifts and resources in your church to do everything he's calling you to do in your community. The problem is that many of those gifts are sitting dormant week after week as church folk gather as spectators. God never intended Christianity to be a spectator sport. He's telling us that we need to get up off the bench and we need to get into the game. Have you ever listened to the sportscasters when a key player on the Heat team, for instance, is injured or sick, and there's all this speculation about how it will affect the team and will they still be able to win the game if this player ends up being benched or whatever? Folks, when any of our players in the church are benched, it affects the game. It affects the game. Can you imagine if instead of 20% of the church doing 80% of the work, 80% of the church got mobilized to do the work of Christ in this community? Hallelujah! Not only would your spiritual growth move into fast forward, because there's never a time that you grow more spiritually as when you're ministering to others. Let me tell you something. I get the most benefit out of the sermons I preach. I hope they bless you. But I've spent like 10 hours in the Word of God before I stand up here to preach before you. I'm growing personally. And you will never grow as much as when you get involved in ministry. And you have to equip yourself with the Word of God to minister to someone else, to teach it to someone else, to witness it to someone else. And you have to get in prayer so that you will be anointed and equipped to be able to. It puts your spiritual growth into fast forward. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. You'll never grow as much as when you get involved in ministry. And when if 80% of the church got involved in ministry, not only would be 80% of the church be growing tremendously spiritually, but the church itself would be growing. Just imagine how many more people we could reach in this community. Just imagine how many more ministries that we could develop to serve this community and to minister to those that need Christ. If instead of 20% of the people doing the work, even 80% did the work. Being a Christian was never intended to be a spectator sport. Being a Christian means being a team player. Being a team player means that you put the good of the team ahead of the glory of the individual. Just look at the Miami Heat over the last several seasons. They had, past tense, three prominent players. We're not sure what the future will look like since LeBron has left, but they had three prominent players: LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. Now, if those guys became glory hounds, and there's some question as to whether some of them were or not, but if those guys became glory hounds and were just in it to make themselves shine, guess what? The team's going to lose. They have to put the good of the team ahead of their own personal glory. So sometimes that means instead of them taking the shot, they'll pass it off to someone else who might be in a better position to take the shot. It might mean that they don't get as much ball time, but what is important is that the team wins. And one of the strongest criticisms of the Miami Heat over the past several years was that everything centered around just those three star players. And not all the team members were strong enough to really win a championship if one of those three star players was not performing up to his ability. Folks, those types of teams, they can't be built just around two or three strong people. Every team member needs to be performing to the best of their ability, and then the team can win. Did you notice how many times in the verses we just read, it said each one of you, each one of us, each one of you. It said it several times. Why? Because it's saying every member of the church is important to the work of God, is important to what God desires to do in our midst. It's not just about two or three star players. It's not just about those that stand up on this platform on a Sunday morning. This morning, as this is going on, we have teams of people in the back that are ministering to children in children's church, in the nursery, and toddler church. In between our two services this morning, we're going to have teams of people that are ministering in Sunday school classes all the way from infants all the way up to adults. That's the church in action. It's every member taking their position to do what God has called them to do. Folks, when we come to church, just like those star players can't just think about themselves, they have to think about the team. When we come to church, we need to remember it's not just about us. We can't come to church and just think about ourselves. We need to think about what is good for the body and how can we minister to the body and how can we fulfill our function in the body so that we can build up the church that Jesus Christ created, so that we can build up the church as God has called us to. Folks, it's time for each and every one of us to get off the bench and get into the game. It's time to stop sitting. There is nowhere in the Bible that it describes to us a ministry of sitting. If you can find it, please show it to me because it's not there. It's time for us to stop sitting and start serving. Start serving. So we need to join the team. The second thing we need to do to become a servant is we need to let go of our limitations. Let go of our limitations. We're going to look again at 1 Peter 4:10. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Every single one of us has received a gift from God for the purpose of ministering to others. We need to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. See, God's grace is manifested in different forms in the church. Right now, His grace is being manifested through the preaching of His word. Earlier, it was being manifested through the worship. His spirit was moving through the worship. There are different ways. Through the week, His grace is manifested through our deacon ministry that's calling people that are absent and visiting people that are in the hospital and going to homes and encouraging the shut-ins. His grace is being manifested in that way. You see, His grace takes different forms to accomplish His ministry in the body of Christ. But we all have gifts. The ushers are manifesting His grace this morning to keep things flowing in an orderly fashion in the church. They're manifesting His grace. The projectionist is manifesting His grace by helping us to be able to follow along with the worship and be able to follow along with the word this morning. Every one of us has different gifts, but it is a manifestation of God's grace to build up and minister to the body of Christ. But sometimes, instead of looking at our gift and what God has given us, we look at our limitations. Some people don't serve because they compare themselves to others. God doesn't expect you to be somebody that you aren't. God has given each of us the gifts He wanted us to have. Not somebody else's gifts, but our gifts. Now, I've always loved music. In my dreams, I sing like an angel. Somehow, there's a breakdown between the music that's inside. By the time it gets to the outside, it doesn't sound the same as it sounds on the inside of me. It sounds so beautiful inside of me. But somehow there's a breakdown. And I've always wanted to be able to sing. And I've always wanted to be able to play an instrument. I've t- I've taken piano lessons, and I play by note, but I can't play accompaniment piano. So one day, Pastor Anna, when she first came on staff, she said, she knew I loved to play piano. She said, I'll teach you how to play by ear. I'll teach you how to. So I said, great. So we sat down. We had two or three lessons. We sat down, and I had to count everything out because, you know, it's not natural for me. It's not my gift. So I'd be, you know, either 4-4 timing or 3-4 timing. I'd be 1, 2, 3, 4. And she'd be like, just let it flow. Just let it flow. I said, I can't let it flow. I have to count, you know. And she got a little frustrated with me, and the piano lesson ceased. But anyways, it wasn't my gift. It wasn't my gift. But God has given me other gifts. I have the gift of administration. I have the gift of leadership. I have the gift of preaching, of teaching. So you know, I can sit around lamenting the whole time and saying, oh, God, I want to sing. I wish I could sing. I wish I could play the piano and never do anything for him. But I need to use the gifts he gave me and use them to the fullest for his glory and for his honor. God only expects you to use the gifts he has given you. He's given me certain gifts, and he expects that I'll use those gifts faithfully for his glory. And that's what he expects of you as well. So don't sit around saying, well, I don't have anything to do because I can't sing like them. I can't preach like Pastor Ryan. I can't teach like so-and-so. No. Find what gift God has given you. In all probability, you already have it and you're using it in some other area in your life. But you just need to use it for the kingdom of God now. That's what he wants. And that's what God wants from every one of us. To be faithful stewards of the gifts that he has given us. As I said before, a steward is a servant, a household servant, who manages what the master has entrusted to him to bring profit or benefit to the master. And God expects us to be faithful servants, to use the gifts he has entrusted to us to benefit his kingdom, to benefit his purpose. Now, some people, they don't serve because they compare themselves to others, but some people don't serve because they don't feel good enough. If you wait until you're spiritually perfect, you'll never do anything for God. Because this side of heaven, we will never be perfect. I like something Rick Warren in The Purpose-Driven Life says. He makes this point that God uses imperfect people. He says this: Abraham was old, Jacob was insecure, Leah was unattractive, downright ugly, Joseph was abused, Moses stuttered, Gideon was poor, Samson was codependent, Rahab was immoral, she was a harlot, David had an affair and all kinds of family problems, Elijah was suicidal, Jeremiah was depressed, Jonah was reluctant, Naomi was a widow, John the Baptist was eccentric, to say the least, Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered, Martha worried a lot, the Samaritan woman had several failed marriages and was living in fornication at the time Jesus called her, Zacchaeus was unpopular, Thomas had doubts, Paul had poor health, and Timothy was timid. This is quite a variety of misfits, he says, but God used each one of them in his service, and he'll use you too if you stop making excuses. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. God wants to use you if we'll just stop making excuses. God will use us for his glory and honor. Thirdly, some people don't serve because they don't feel they can do anything. There is not one single one of us that can say, I don't have any gifts, because then we make God a liar. Because God said, we just read it, how in his grace he has given each one of us various gifts. So if we say, I don't have anything I can do for God, I don't have any gifts, we're calling God a liar. Because he told us he gave each of us gifts. Now I'm so grateful that we have wonderful servants in this body who are using their gifts for the glory of God. I'll embarrass her now, but Gail Grant is an excellent teacher and she is a professor. She's a professor for Miami-Dade. But she has discovered that that gift of teaching was not just meant to be used in her career, but it was meant to glorify God and to be used for his kingdom. So she teaches Sunday school. She's been doing it for years. She teaches in our Ministry Training Institute. She teaches in Joy Fellowship. And she is a great blessing to this church and has touched many lives with the gift that God placed in her. Ruthie, sitting down here on this front row, has the gift of helps. I mean, there's not a time you'll ask Ruthie to do something that she won't turn her schedule upside down to do it for you. Ruthie has the gifts of helps. Whether it's cleaning the church, she leads our cleaning ministry, or giving somebody a ride to the doctor, or visiting them in the hospital, being with them in the hospital, helping them after the hospital in their recovery. She's a part of our deacon ministry. She has that gift of helps, and she's using it for the glory and honor of God. Hubert Daniels and Daniel Ripperto, they're excellent in anything that you need repaired. I mean, electrical, plumbing, drywall, you name it, they can do it. You know what? That's a gift that God has given them. And they use it to be a blessing to the church. There's not a time that we call either one of these men and they give us an excuse or say, oh, no, I can't do it. They'll say, Pastor, I'll be there on such and such night. I'll be there to do it. And they show up and they come and they do it. Our musicians and singers, they serve tirelessly. They arrive at 7 a.m. on Sunday mornings to do a last run through on their rehearsal. They're here for every service, 8 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 6:30 on Sunday evening, Wednesday nights as well. And then they're here on Thursday nights for their rehearsals. And they all have jobs and they all have families and they all have commitments. But they have committed themselves to using the gift that God has given them to be a blessing to this body of Christ. And aren't they a wonderful blessing? Amen. Don't you enjoy the worship? Praise the Lord. I appreciate each and every one of them. In fact, right now, whatever capacity you serve in the church, would you stand to your feet? You serve in some area of ministry. I want to express our appreciation to you. If you serve in any area of ministry, choir, projection, sound, Sunday school, children's church, cleaning the church, whatever it is, amen. Give a great big hand. There's the 20% doing 80% of the work. We appreciate you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. They're what makes this church go. Without them, we couldn't do it, amen? We appreciate so much their servanthood as they honor the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. We have wonderful people in all areas of this church. Deacon ministry, they give encouragement and compassion. They visit the sick. They call those that are out. We have over 200 people who weekly serve in ministry, such as Sunday school, Royal Rangers, girls ministry, youth, outreach, prayer, men's ministry, women's ministry, and the list goes on. Over 200 people. This is a church with people who have a heart of servanthood. But we are still a work in progress, and we still have a long way to go for each of us to be like Jesus. God is not satisfied with 20% of the church doing 80% of the work. We have, yes, more than 200 people serving in ministry, but weekly, we have between 600 and 700 people who attend. And we have about 1,200 people who call this their church home. They may not attend every week. In the United States, 30% of people attend 1 to 6 times a year. Another 30% attend 6 to 12 times a year, but they say this is their church. We have 1,200 people who call this their church home. We have 200 people serving and 700 people attending regularly. But God said, each one of us, each one of us, not just the 200, but all 700, each one of us. God's will is that 100% of his people would be actively engaged in serving. Then we won't just maintain the ministries that we have, but we can grow and we can reach this community more effectively, and we can see more people won to the kingdom of God, and we individually will grow spiritually. Fourthly, some people don't serve because they feel inadequate. I don't think I can do it. Many people know that God wants them to serve, but they are so filled with fear. They lack the self-confidence, and they feel so inadequate that they refuse to trust God to work through them. But let's listen to the kind of folks that God chooses to use. Reading from 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through 29, he says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were. Think of what you were when you were called. Wow. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things. That word despised thing speaks of things that were cast off like refuse, like garbage, like nobody thought they were worth anything. and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. You see, God delights to use those that feel like they can't do it. Why? Because when it gets done, they can't boast. They have to say, God, you're the one that did it. If anything good gets accomplished, we have to say, praise God, God, you were the one that did it. You see, when you step up to serve, if you don't feel like you can do it, then you have to depend on him and not on yourself. And when he does anything through us, he'll be sure to get the glory, because we'll know it wasn't us. And others will look at us and they'll say, man, I didn't think they'd amount to anything. If something happened, that had to be God, you know? And God will get the glory. I love what Paul said of himself. Paul, this great man of God that planted so many churches, won thousands to the Lord, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Listen to what he says of himself and his ministry team in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 4 and 6. He says, such confidence we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Paul says, you know what? We recognize we're inadequate, but we're not ministering out of who we are. God is our adequacy. God is our sufficiency. God alone. See, when we step up in ministry, we are stepping out in faith to do what God has called us to do. And he steps in at that moment, and he makes us fit for the task, and he releases the supernatural power of his Holy Spirit through us to do what we cannot do ourselves. If you've never experienced supernatural power, maybe we're not doing anything that requires it. Jesus said, go, and I will go with you, confirming your words with signs and wonders following. And he talked about how we'd heal the sick and deliver those that are in bondage. And he's saying, you know what? As you start going and doing my work, it's going to release supernatural power to you through you. You want to experience the supernatural power of God? You want to experience the miraculous? Step up and start ministering. Because that's when the power of God will be released through you. So let go of our limitations. And let's start trusting him and serving him. And you'd be amazed how you see his power released through you. The third step to becoming a servant. The third step to becoming a servant. Write it down. It's profound. Yeah. Roll up your sleeves. Woo-hoo! And get to work. You don't have to look at the Greek and Hebrew to figure that out. Look again at 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you. Everybody say this. That verse is talking to me. Okay, about 20% of you said it. Everybody say this. That verse is talking to me. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Let's get out and start doing it. Romans 12:3 cautions us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, and tells us that we need to use the gifts God has given us to serve others. When we think highly of ourselves, we expect to be served. But when we think rightly of ourselves, we become servants. I got to say that again. When we think too highly of ourselves, we expect to be served. But when we think rightly about ourselves, we become servants. Paul says, don't think too highly about yourself. So how do we become a servant? Just do it. That's Nike's motto, isn't it? Nike's motto is just do it. But it ought to be our motto as well. That's what God's word says. Just do it. Take the gift God's given you and just do it. Use it. See, the Bible tells us not to be hearers of the word only, but to be doers. Just do it. We've been preaching 6 weeks now on servanthood, and God is saying, just do it. Just do it. The problem is that most Christians have been educated beyond their level of obedience. Hello. When we meet Jesus, he's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful Bible scholar. You can quote Genesis to Revolution. He's not going to say that. When we stand before Jesus, he's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful church attender. You attended church for 30 years and sat in the same pew till Jesus called your name. He's not going to say that. No, there's only one commendation that we receive on that day. Well done, good and faithful. What?
Servant!
And the one that didn't serve with what God had given him, with the talents God had given him, what did he say to him? You lazy and good for nothing servant. Depart from me. Well, I don't want to hear that. Do you want to hear that? No, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So just do it. And the next one is just as profound as the first one. Just do something. Amen. Anything. Just do something. Well, I don't know what my ministry is. I don't know what my gifting is. So they just sit around and wait for a voice from heaven that says, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt serve in Sunday school. It ain't going to happen. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. He doesn't say wait around and pray till God says, do this. Now, in the process of doing what we find to do, God may reveal to us certain gifts that we have. God may reveal to us certain passions that are within us. And we'll say, oh, I didn't know I could do that. Or, oh, I didn't know I had a passion for that. And as in the process of ministering, he begins to reveal those things to us. It begins to guide us more specifically to where God would have us. But we have to start somewhere. Right. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you are going. Right. What's he saying? He's saying some people are waiting around so long to find what God wants them to do that they're going to end up dying before they ever do anything. Hallelujah. You're not going to be able to serve God when you're dead. So we can't keep putting it off. We can't keep procrastinating. We can't keep sitting around waiting for a foil-lined invitation from God or a lightning bolt from heaven to strike and the voice of God to come thundering through the heavens and saying, my child, I have called you to sing in the choir. Thou must start immediately. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it and do it now. Because tomorrow is not promised to us, and you might find yourself in the grave tomorrow. And you discover your ministry and God's calling as you get involved serving. So if there is some opportunity that presents itself, any opportunity to teach Sunday school or children's church or do the protection or help with the technology ministries or whatever it might be, it's an opportunity being presented. What does the Bible say? Just do it with all of your might. And in the process, you'll realize your gifts and your passions. They'll come to the forefront, and God can guide you more specifically. Because if you're faithful with a little bit, God will make you ruler over much. When I first started in ministry, I knew I was not called to children's ministry. I was about 15 years old, and I got entrusted with a children's ministry. I knew I was called to ministry, but I knew it wasn't children's ministry. But you know what? The opportunity presented itself, and what did I do? I did it with all my might. And then we left that state and moved down here. I finished Bible college, and I went back to my church in Miami, and one of the first doors that opened for me, guess what it was? Children's ministry. I knew God had called me to pastor and evangelize, but this door of children's ministry opened, and I did it faithfully. And then I did youth ministry, and I did it faithfully, and I did young adults ministry, and I did it faithfully at that church for 6.5 years. And through that church, God opened the door for me to plant this church because I was faithful with the little that God gave me. God opened a door for me to plant this church. If you're faithful with a little, God will make you ruler of much. Folks, the truth is, we don't need another sermon. We don't need another church meeting. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The church is essential and the preaching of God's word is essential. But as I said earlier, most of us have been educated above our level of obedience. What we need to do
is to just start doing what we know we're supposed to be doing. We don't need another message on servanthood. What we need to do is we need to just step up and start doing what God has called us to do. We just need to start obeying the Word of God and say, I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to do it. And whatsoever my hand finds to do, I'm going to do it with all of my might. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning, Lord God, because your word is truth, and your word reveals to us, Lord God, who you are and what it is that you require of us, oh God. And Father, your word has been revealing to us for the past several weeks that you require servanthood from us. You require every member of your body to be actively engaged in serving or in ministry, so that your purpose can be advanced, so that your church can be built up, so that more people can be won to Christ and discipled in their faith for you. Father, I pray that we'll just stop listening to sermons and saying amen to sermons, and that this morning we will step up and obey the word that we have received. Father, have your way in each and every one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a moment.